Kia ora team, and welcome to the latest All Things PE podcast. Sit back and enjoy these short and sharp discussions around physical education with people who hold the subject close to their hearts. Hi team, and welcome to the All Things PE podcast. Now, we're actually very lucky today to have the privilege of speaking with Sarah Cowley Ross. Now, you'll find Sarah on Twitter at SarahCowley3. Now, Sarah's a very talented human who is a sports presenter, writer, physiotherapist, columnist, commentator, and a contributor to the New Zealand and Oceania sports. She's also competed at 2 Commonwealth Games and 1 Summer Olympic Games, where she competed in the heptathlon. And not to mention that Sarah is also a busy mother as well. Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today, and thanks so much for taking the time to chat. What I'll do is I'll pass it on to for you to fill us in on a little bit about where you're from and something interesting about yourself.
Okay, well, Lockie, just such a privilege to be here today with you from my living room in New Zealand. We've got the fire on here, so we're nice and toasty, probably a bit different to the Singapore climate. But yeah, thanks very much for having me, and just thinking of everyone in the world today, and I guess where things are at. So question was something interesting about me. Well, something random, I guess, is that I can listen to a song. Like, if I get a good song, I can literally listen to it for like an hour or 2 hours just on repeat. That's the random thing that came into my mind. At the moment, it's All She Wrote, 660.
That is a very random thought. And are you very good at remembering the lyrics, though, after listening to it for that long? Can you have a little bit of a sing-along?
Not right now, but will I?
We won't push you into that.
I probably wouldn't want to do that, but to myself, I absolutely, but yes, and I'll tell you what, my kids as well have been, obviously, my husband was like, they know the words to this song, you've been doing it again, haven't you? And I was like, yep.
Nice. For those listeners that don't know, 660 is it is New Zealand's most successful band, and they are very talented musicians, so they're fully worth a listen. I actually love music as well. I listen to it all the time. I believe that it is so good for someone's heart and soul. And I always got told that if I could remember my maths and my writing and my reading skills, as well as I could remember the lyrics of a song, I'd pretty much be a genius. So that's one thing that I can remember being told when I was a young fella at school. I like to warm things up with a little bit of a quick fire question round. These questions are just short and sharp. I'll fire you the question and you can just give me your answer. So the first one is, what is one of the things you would put on your bucket list?
Visit Antarctica.
Any reason for that? That seems quite cold.
Yes. I read this book once when I was probably about 15 about an emergency doctor who went to Antarctica. And ever since then, just kind of been really fascinated about the wildlife, and I guess the ecology, and just amazing to kind of see this barren force of nature, I guess, in the real life. And I've had friends that go my friend Mike Dawson, he takes a trip down every year. He actually got stuck there when New Zealand went into lockdown. But obviously he hasn't been in 18 months or so, but he does it with this youth program. Quite fascinated by it, and just one of those random things.
My my dad was lucky enough to sort of, I guess he entered himself. It was like a drawer that you had to go into, and you had to sort of be able to sort of give something to the trip or be involved with something that could sort of be connected to the trip. And he's a plumber, so he said that obviously if the boat had leaky pipes, he could fix that. But he's also into the sort of he's a pregnancy scanner for sheep, which is quite random, but he's sort of into the agriculture sort of stuff as well. So he actually ended up getting a spot on the boat. So he got to go down there, and then some of the stories he's told are fairly amazing. And also, if you haven't watched the movie, it's called Penguins. Yeah. It's on Disney Plus. It is a must watch. It's a real life documentary starring Steve, who is a little penguin. So definitely get on that watch. Right. Who are you? Who do you admire the most?
My husband and my parents.
And why have you put that there?
Well, I put my husband because he has just this incredible brain, caring nature, and he wants the best out of people. And my parents, because now as a parent, I admire them more for the way that they sort of raised my brothers and I. I'm in the middle of two boys. Lucky knows both my brothers.
Sure do.
And I think my dad, he was 7 when he came to New Zealand from Samoa, so I'm half Samoan. And when I think about his journey through life, he came to New Zealand with no English, like 10 kids, no money. Like I'm just fascinated by his courage, my grandparents' courage, and sort of honouring the legacy of that courage as well. So that's, to me, really both admirable and inspirational, I guess. And my mum, I really admire her strength and her unconditional love.
Fantastic. Yeah, and that's a really neat, and it's also cool to be, I guess, you're part of that story and you're part of their journey, and for you to be able to recognize and acknowledge their story as well is really, really cool. Are you a morning or night person?
Well, I actually am like day. And I kind of got into this thing. Sorry, this is supposed to be quick fire. But I never really used to like the mornings. And I had this kind of like, I'm not really good in the mornings kind of thing. But actually, it's a mindset. And so that's why I'm like, it's a day or night. When I need to be on, I'll be on.
You're right. It's a mindset and about creating those habits, isn't it? And having that understanding of, you know, it's just a little switch of that positive mindset and that can make the day or night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So much better.
And also because I've got a 3 and a 5-year-old, I'm like, you know, well, over the last few years, it's we're out there sleep, you know, by now. But, you know, you just learn to go with the flow. Just get it done no matter what.
Definitely. My 3-year-old has decided that through the night he's too lazy to pull up his own blanket. So like 2 times a night, he'll be, "Dad, can you pull my blanket up?" And I've got to go in, pull his blanket up, and then go back to bed. So
I feel like our 3-year-old could get on quite well and cause a lot of trouble.
Definitely. Favorite movie quote?
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Is that because you like chocolates or is it because of the deeper meaning?
The deeper meaning, and I love Forrest Gump.
Definitely. Describe yourself in 3 words.
Well, I found this quite hard, Lockie, I'm not going to lie. But what came to my head was like determined, optimistic, and organized.
Fantastic. I'll have to agree. And also, a bit of a random one, would you rather fight a duck the size of a horse or 100 duck-sized horses?
I went with the duck the size of the horse.
And is there a reason for that?
Nah, just like get it done. Get it done. Yeah. Kill a punch. Because,
yeah, right. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Ducks can be quite aggressive, though, so I'm not sure. I think I'd probably go for a...
Ducks have a fierce fierce ground game, right?
Yeah.
So we live in a lifestyle block, and we have these, we have albino peacocks that come to our house every day, right? And they're so annoying. So that's why I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the peacocks. And I'd much rather just like, if I had to, you're really getting primal here, but I would much rather take down one than 100, because literally every day I'm trying to take down multiple peacocks. Like, I just, as a precursor, I have not killed a peacock.
But you've just shooed them off.
On our property.
Nice.
I'll send you a photo.
Cool. I look forward to it. We'll move on to that next question now. What is your current role and what does it entail?
So I guess we've alluded to it. My biggest role is as a mum. And yeah, I'm really conscious of trying to really enjoy this time with Poppy while she's at home, and my son Max, our son Max, started school this year. So that's been a big change for us. But yeah, being a mum is my biggest role as such. But I also have a few governance roles. So I'm the chair of the New Zealand Olympic Committee Athletes Commission, and I sit on the board of the New Zealand Olympic Committee for New Zealand. I'm also on the board of University Tertiary Sport New Zealand, and I am a selector for Athletics New Zealand. I am on the Athletics Commission for Athletics New Zealand. I am a columnist for Locker Room, which is a website for Newsroom, an online platform, and we exclusively write about women and girls in sports, so something I'm really passionate about. And there's a really cool opportunity to work with the likes of Suzanne McFadden, who's my editor and friend. And I do a bit of commentary for Sky Next, and also I'm a celebrant. So kind of like my career as a heptathlete, where I did lots of different events, that's how my life is now, and it's the variety of the different projects I'm involved in really suits my personality and how I like to work.
That's fantastic. It's so cool that you've got some of those, the different loves for those different things. It's always been a thing of mine in regards to your athletics selector, and obviously athletics has been it's an individual sport, and it's generally you're selected on time or performance. But is there any sort of aspect of when you're a selector that you look at the sort of the person's personality and their attributes in regards to what they can do for others for the actual sport itself?
So I wish there was more of that. But the teams that at the moment I'm involved in selecting, it's very objective. But certainly if there is an athlete who has gone to extraordinary lengths around their community involvement or leadership capabilities, if there was a selection decision that was like one-on-one, then those factors may count, but not at the level of the teams that we're selecting. We can't, it's like, it would be a conflict to have a personal judgment whilst
being nice.
And, you know, for me as an athlete with an athlete's hat on, and that's part of my role in this kind of, in the panel, selection panels that I'm across, is to really bring that athlete focus. So with that comes a sense of fairness. And, we don't want dicks on our teams, absolutely. We want people that can grow the sport, can be advocates for sport, for playing sport, for doing athletics. But at the end of the day, there's a selection policy to implement.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, yeah, and that was a bit of a random question. It sort of just popped into my head. But you know, as PE teachers, we're obviously always talking to the students about, you know, integrity and compassion and how they sort of hold themselves in team environments and things like that. And I was just wondering, it just popped into my head.
Yeah, but I would regards. Say, Lockie, like how you hold yourself and your own personal integrity and your integrity within sport in general, the opportunities that someone would have if they are essentially shoulder tapped for someone that is would be someone that could add value, there are opportunities within national sporting organisations, communities around that to help, I guess, showcase those leaders. And it's about having the right people in the right spots to really stretch those people and their leadership capacity, I guess.
Super cool. Awesome. We're going to move on to question three now. Have you always been an active person? When did you realize that you wanted to take your athletics further? And what was it that sort of drove you and still drives you because you're still competitive today?
Yeah, so definitely always sort of been an active person. Like Kiwi kids, I always think are like just, you know, grow up in the backyard playing whatever with a ball. Because I was in the middle of two boys, so we're always like, generally I was playing what they wanted to play, like rugby or like cricket, like fielding, or like, oh, could you bowl to me? And then it would be like, oh, you're not fast enough sort of thing. You'd be the wicketkeeper. Or, and then we got like a half court. My dad laid a concrete slab, and because my dad was from a basketball background, he played basketball for New Zealand. So my parents met through sport. They knew the value of sport beyond like a physical health perspective. They saw the opportunities that sport had provided them with friendships and different, I guess, soft skills that you're kind of referring to in your previous question. So, yeah, absolutely active person from the get-go. And when did I realize that I wanted to take my athletics further? When I was at high school, I went to Rotorua Girls High School, and my PE teacher actually, in third form, she was a teacher at school. We did the athletics day, and I was sort of like a group of girls that were invited to train with this teacher who was a former sprinter. And it really was from there that I, a couple of years under her, started to sort of have some success, I guess, started winning like national titles and yeah, started making teams, and that sort of success, I guess, drives more, you set the bar higher. And so for me, I guess what drove me and still what drives me, well, actually I think initially what drove me was like the goal, the challenge, like wanting to get a national medal, wanting to get national titles, wanting to make national teams and then progress up. You know, you make a national team at such level, but then there's different level of competition. So for me, it was initially that. And I guess nowadays I'm driven by still that goal. But for me, the reason why I have the goal has changed. So for me, I know I'm a better person, I'm a better mom, I'm a better wife when I have a goal that's active. And I also feel really strongly about sort of like as a mom in my late 30s now that actually it's okay to have something for yourself. It's okay to sort of want to pursue something which is difficult or is outside your comfort zone a bit. And so for me, it's different levels of my why, I guess. And I guess finally, probably my biggest why is to show my kids that, first of all, we value sport, we value goals, and also you don't have to give up on that process.
Yeah, and it is great. Obviously, friends on social media, and you're always posting about the benefits of fitness, and you know you've got your workout routines and the garage there by the looks of things, and it's great that you've got the kids there as well. So they're actually seeing it happening, and they're seeing mum working hard, and they're still being a part of it as well. So it's really neat. I want to jump back to the goals. Again, if we link it back to physical education, we talk about goal setting, not just in physical education, but in the school environment. Do you remember being taught about or helped out with how to set good goals and what goals were maybe achievable and what made a goal achievable and things like that throughout your younger years?
Yeah. So, I guess a step back was when I was probably about 10, my dad set us down, like he was kind of like a taskmaster, like a disciplinarian, sort of Samoan man. He, every January, like before we went back to school, he would sit my brothers and I down and be like, right, write your goals out for the year. And like, that's quite hard out if you're 10, like to kind of think, like I think it is. And it wasn't just like, I will do better at maths or, you know, I was like, it had to be more than that. Like
in purposeful, year, meaningful.
Yeah. So that was, I guess, my first taste of that. But then I remember in PE learning about SMART goals.
Cool.
And the acronym. And because I was into sport, because I was, I also played netball as well, at like a regional representative level in New Zealand. And so for me, it was quite easy to make goals because I had like a tangible thing and a time frame and kind of like a comparative measure of, so I could understand whether it would be achievable or not, will potentially be achievable. And I also, the other thing to that is that I had people in my corner and a lot of them were my PE teachers, you know, like trying to just push and extend me, which, you know, I'm really grateful for.
And it's so cool that you keep touching base on the PE teachers. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but like, you know, the teachers and the people that I've spoken to about PE teachers, you know, athletes, I spoke to Val the other day and I've spoken to Ben. Those PE teachers actually do have quite an impact on, you know, the growth of and the development of students. And it's not just developing good sports people, it's developing good people. You know, like yourself who do grow up and share their passion for sports, but are also, you know, we talk about the values of integrity and compassionate. So it's I think that's really cool to hear that. And it's nice to know that obviously, you know, even when it was a while ago since we were at school, you know, that's still, you know, that still was spoken about and helped with.
Oh, totally. Like, Lockie, I went back to my high school last week and gave a talk there. And in preparation for the talk, you know, I was really thinking about who are the people which were most impactful on me in that, and what were the key decisions that I made or opportunities that I had in my high school career to do with the outcome of my life now. And like that PE teacher that brought me in and said, hey, you're showing some talent, come along and train with me. She gave up her time. She had now when I look back, she had young kids. You know, she had a baby when I was sixth form. And I just think, how awesome was that one person for me that has really laid some strong foundations in my life?
So fantastic.
The PE teachers is what I want to say.
Cool. Now, this might touch base in regards to and have a little bit of a crossover, but in what ways did physical education prepare you for your role as an Olympian? And what are some things that you feel could have helped you in the PE environment at a younger age?
Yeah, so for me, like, because I was an active kid, like, I found my place in PE. You know, like it was like, I can be physical, I can be, and because I was kind of I was a natural leader. So, you know, it was like about gathering people in small games or team games. And I love team sports as well. So for me, PE was a real opportunity to showcase not just like athleticism. It was to allow myself to be me. And I think the coolest thing for me was that it gave me a sense of self what I was passionate about. And I enjoyed the different facets of PE, actually, because I actually, when I left school, did a physio degree. I don't work as a physiotherapist anymore, but I did. So for me, learning about anatomy and physiology was really, really helpful when I went into physio school. So in terms of things I feel that could have helped me at PE at a younger age, like, I do work in the schools now as an Olympic ambassador. So I go around schools and we talk about Olympic values, and a lot of schools now have values. So it's really, they're relatable to their three Olympic values, which are excellence, friendship, and respect. Mm-hmm. But what I don't see as often when I go to the schools is the teacher joining in the PE as an example.
Cool.
And also, yeah, that's something that really hits me, and kind of like, yeah, it might not be a thing, but if you try, and you don't have to be, I'm not saying you have to be an Olympian to take PE or anything, but I'm just saying, like, as an example of all shapes, all sizes, whatever fitness levels, as a teacher, as a leader, and so influential on kids, I think that's something we could probably do better.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that. I saw a quick sort of post the other day from a PE teacher, and it was a really simple, as a PE teacher, drink water in front of your kids, drink out of your water bottle in front of your kids, get involved with the games that are being played. Because when they're seeing that and they're experience that, you know, that time with you, then that sort of it's more, that's when it becomes more than just the physical. It becomes, you know, that they see that you care and that they see that you understand. So it's great that it's quite funny that you mentioned that, because I was looking at that post yesterday.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, when a teacher shows that they are vulnerable, because, like, I see now my 5-year-old has been in school like 15 weeks literally. And his teacher is a god to him. Like, what Mrs. R says is, like, overrides anything. And so if she, you know, we're really lucky because she's, like, really awesome. But I go to a lot of schools where the pressures of all the stuff that teachers have to do, and they feel like, oh, maybe PE's the break. I don't know. But
yeah.
That when they say to me, they're like, oh, I wish, you know, we don't do PE because my teacher doesn't really like sport or whatever. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, well, we're lucky because we've got, obviously, I teach in a massive international school and, you know, PE specialist. So the kids come to us and they've actually got that allocated time 2 days a week. Whereas I think what you're implying is back home in New Zealand. You're teaching across cross-curricular sort of stuff.
Yeah, but I guess it's all applies to the specialists. Like, you know, and you don't have to be like trying to beat the kids or anything. I mean, yeah, who wants to be that guy? But, you know, like in the outfield, fielding or whatever, you know, I think, you know, you're the product of the people you hang around with. So,
And the students, they get such a buzz out of, you know, like, even if it's just a game of tag, like if I get tagged and I'm playing in a game of tag, like the kids just erupt because it's like the best thing in the world because they got the PE teacher out, you know, it's like, oh man, you know, and then you've got to go down and wait for your turn to go back up again as the teacher and that, but it's really cool and it's uplifting for the kids and yourself to see them happy and in that environment. As a wellness advocate, what is something that you feel is an absolute must that PE teachers could pass on to the students related to that topic? Because obviously with COVID-19 happening at the moment, it's not just about the physical, it's about the social, emotional and that mental well-being. So any sort of hints or tips for the PE teachers out there that we could pass on?
I think just exactly what you said, Lockie, like sport is bigger than the physical aspect. It's about your mental health now. And also you mentioned that, like, in some countries you can't go outside, and that's just so, so hard on your well-being. You know, to feel nature, to feel the heat or the rain or whatever is another aspect of being active. And for me, that's a double banger in terms of a wellness pillar, like exercise and nature are two shifters in mood and mindset. So I think it's just reiterating that we need it for our mental health in these really challenging pandemic times. And it doesn't have to be much. And that's why I have this thing of never miss a Monday. You would see it on my Instagram. And it's like, even if it's like 9 p.m. on Monday and I've had like a full-on day and I haven't managed to get anything in, I know like the shift that I will have will be better. I'll be better off for it, even if I just do 1 minute, 100% burpees, two minutes. You know, I was walking, we went on holiday recently and I was like, we were by the sea and we're very lucky to be by the sea. But I didn't see unhappy people that were walking or running in the morning because it wasn't so much that they were getting fitter or getting faster. It was that feeling of the endorphins. It's free drugs, man.
Mm. Exactly.
And it's so important in these really in these times where people are really struggling.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It doesn't have to be much. A minute, you know, a blowout, a minute burpees. I mean, I got up and went for a wee walk this morning with my wife, and you know, it was just a wee short one. But you know, the feeling that you get afterwards and that start of the day is just so important, and it really does have an impact on how the rest of your day pans out. So that's really cool. Now this final question is, you've mentioned that you spend time talking to pupils about your story. So what message would you give yourself at a younger age if you were to travel back in time and you be in that audience?
I would say always have fun, find the fun, and take care of your body.
Definitely. Short, sharp, and simple, but very, very important. We're going to wrap it up there, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat. It is really cool to catch up. It's been too long. And for those of you who would like to contact Sarah or get in touch with her or see about her Never Miss a Monday, as mentioned above, you can catch her on Twitter at SarahCowley3. Sarah, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Lockie. Keep smashing it.
Thanks for listening to the latest podcast, team. If you've enjoyed it and would like to be a guest, please feel free to message me on Twitter at all_thingspe.